Yes, I would like to talk a little bit about the open type status, a talk which I did 2 years, 3 years, 4 years ago, and I've revised the content and tried to keep up with the recent developments, and opposed to the talk of John Hudson, which delved deep into the limits of open type, I will deal more with the lower end of open type, which means the parts which are not really working yet, or which are working partly, and kind of discussing kind of problems which will occur with in an everyday business with your customers. And so OpenType has been implemented since 1997, in the last 12 years in many applications and operating systems, and also in independent libraries. And it has support for OpenType has been introduced for many scripts, East Asian scripts, Index scripts, Mongolian, Tibet, Southeast Asia, also typographic support for the Latin, Greek, and Cyrillic scripts. And OpenType has been developed since then continuously, also with the help of people like John Hudson, who requested more and more functionality for OpenType. And the OpenType specification version is now 1.6, and it's also it also has been introduced as an ISO standard, so it's in under the name of Open Font Format. So it's really a central part of today's font technology, and it has been implemented in many applications and many other parts of the software. OpenType is not just a specification for a font, it's a complete architecture, and it needs not only support from font developers, it also needs support from programmers who are doing layout engines or who are doing libraries which are handling the OpenType features. And this has been implemented in many different parts of software. And the latest and also very interesting development is the integration of OpenType features into CSS style sheets and web browsers. I will mention that at the end a bit. So there are still problems and there are still open issues which could be improved. So I will discuss a little bit what OpenType support means. At first, very basic, it means that you should support all simple scripts like Latin, Greek, Cyrillic on a Unicode basis. So all the old stuff which you had in Type 1, which supported single byte code pages and different encodings and all the kind of features should have been removed. And there should be support for typographic features in Latin and other scripts. And for complex scripts, you need layout engines and you need support for, especially for Indic and for Middle East scripts, you need really complex layout engines. And where problems in OpenType technology can arise from different reasons. So one, of course, is insufficient or incomplete implementation of the specification. There's some kind of redundancy in the OpenType specification, so you have different the options to have different entries for the same kind of value. This is always a question, a source of problems. Other problems which you can have are arising from font caching, when you have old versions of the same font on your machine, and you have duplicate fonts, you have different font formats which behave differently, and you have different platforms which behave differently. So these are all reasons which can contribute to some problems which you have with your fonts in actual environment. So we are considering, I will talk a bit about the operating systems which we have experience with, which is Windows, Mac OS, in different versions. Of course, there are other platforms like Linux, which have also open type layout engines like Pango or Qt or Halfbus, which is a kind of open source project for a layout engine, which might be used by web browsers and by other applications which are running on platforms which are not standard Windows or Mac. And there are, of course, independent layout engines like Panorama from Bitstream who are doing the complete OpenType layout. But I don't want to talk about that because we don't have access to it, and it's also a bit aside. Applications, of course, the main applications using OpenTypes are the word processing applications and also complex layout programs like InDesign or Quark. And there are several applications on the market which we haven't tested all, but I will mention from time to time if we have encountered problems or what kind of support these applications will have for OpenType. So what do we what is an OpenType font, actually? Because there has been a lot of font formats around for several years, and since the specification of OpenType, there was always a question: what is a TrueType font? What is an OpenType font? And do you have to explain that? So, an OpenType font, a valid OpenType font, can have different forms. One is the it can be an OTF, which has name keyed glyphs inside, which was originating from type 1. Actually, it can be an open type font, which has a CID keyed font inside, so you don't have any glyph names, you just have character identifiers. This was also originating from the Far East type 1 versions of Adobe's PostScript fonts. You can have a TTF font, which is a valid OpenType font with or without a GPOS, GSAP, or any other OpenType table. And you can have TrueType collection files, which are also valid OpenType fonts because you can have OpenType features inside. And you can, they are working in the same way as TTF is working. You can put two or three or four different fonts into a TTC. They will be exposed as different fonts in the menu, but they will share a lot of glyph tables, so they will save some space simply. And they are mostly used in Far East, and as we have seen, they are also now used for the Mars font Cambria in Microsoft's set of system fonts. So the encoding is, of course, should be based on Unicode. The glyph number of an OpenType font is limited to 65,000, which is certainly a problem. The fonts should be platform independent and should be used on Windows and Mac in the same way. And with the appropriate typographic features, you can support a different variety of scripts and languages. So what does basic Unicode support mean? You should be able to encode any glyph which is in the Unicode specification. This includes the glyphs from the non-basic plane. So Adobe Japan has some glyphs in plane 2. The Hong Kong character set has about 2,000 glyphs in the non-basic plane. GB 1830. 2000 has some glyphs, and if you go to the full set of Chinese glyphs in Unicode 5.0, you have 40,000 glyphs in plane 2, which gives you a total number of about 70,000 Chinese glyphs in font, which is not yet possible, but all these glyphs are coded in the higher planes of Unicode. And also you have seen the Mars font, the Cambria, had some mathematical signs which are also located in plane 2. Earlier times, fonts could have custom encodings like ShiftGIS or Big 5, but I think this is outdated today and should not be part of any OpenType font. And of course, glyph names should also have no, should play no role in any kind of open type font. So this is a list of basic Unicode support, and you can see that it's Unicode is really supported in most applications. Quark 7 didn't include the support for the higher plane characters in Unicode, but in Quark 8 this is removed. And the older versions of the Mac OS 10.4, they had some poor support for name-keyed OTF fonts. They were mapped to Unicode using name to Unicode mapping tables or something like that, and this generated some problems, but this has been fixed in the latest versions. So yeah, this is the Unicode support on the Mac. In 10.4 we had some problems, and I can show that. So if you look at this sheet here, we can see some of these glyphs which had a comma accent below, and on Mac 10.4 this didn't work really, because these glyphs were mapped to different points or were not recognized correctly in the mapping table, so you get different glyphs instead of the one which were in your font. You can see that on the top you have InDesign, and on the bottom I think you have TextEdit or Word or something like that. So in InDesign this works perfectly. In other Mac applications this didn't work. The same was true for some Greek signs which had names which were not unique, so they were mixed up, and you can see in TextEdit you get different glyphs than in InDesign using the same font. And also some kind of non-standard encoding in the OpenType fonts led to some problems, especially with the accents. You can see the A, O diuresis. They were replaced by completely different glyphs on the left side. So this was status in 10.4, and I've updated everything now to 10.5 and 10.6 on Mac operating systems, and here everything works quite well. So you get all glyphs are correctly as they are in the font, displayed correctly as they are in the font, and so these problems have been removed, and of course this is a good reason to update your operating system to the latest version, of course. So so then the next basic feature, which is part of OpenType and which was also part of the fonts earlier before OpenType was specified, is kerning. And here we have still some problems, because kerning can be included into the font in two different ways. You can either use a kern table or you can use a gpos table, and you can also use both, of course, and you can, if you like, put different values in both tables, which makes no sense, but it's interesting to see what kind of result you would get with that. So gpos usually is used with OTF fonts, and kern tables are usually used with TTF fonts. And here's a table of kerning support, and I've made some tests, so you can see. Let me look at that. So you can see that OpenType with gpos works well in most applications. OpenType with kerning, with a kern table, doesn't work in most applications, except for the InDesign and Quark layout programs. And TTF with gpos also doesn't work with most applications. It works partly in Quark and fully in InDesign. TTF with kerning works in most cases, and TTF with GPOS and kerning behaves the same as TTF with kerning. So you can see the only application which has which is working in every combination is Adobe InDesign. And all other applications still have some problems displaying kerning correctly. So this is a screenshot which I made with different versions. You can see on top, let me see that. On top you have an OTF font which has a GPOS table, and it's in MS Word 2007 on Windows 7, and it's kerning the Latin glyphs only, so the Greek gamma epsilon which you have is not kerned. If you have an OTF with a kern table, you get no kerning at all. If you have a TTF with a kern table, you get kerning for the Latin and the Greek, and you have if you have a TTF with a GPOS table, you get no kerning at all. So depending on what your customer wants and which programs he is using, you have to select the font format and the kern format. So it's not a consistent behavior. InDesign works very well. So you can see the top line, the top three lines are OpenType with kerning, GPOS, or both tables. They behave the same. Kerning works. You have an optical kerning, which is the built-in kerning algorithm developed by Peter Caro and Margaret Albrecht earlier in 95. Of course, you can switch off the OpenType kerning. And you can do the same for TrueType. The TrueType with kerning works. The TrueType with a GPOS table works. You can have optical kerning for TrueType fonts, and you can switch off the kerning if you like. In Quark, you have similar results. You can have OpenType with kerning, with GPOS, or with both. It works, except for the fact if you go to the menu and say disable kerning, then you can disable kerning in case that you have a kern table. If you have a GPOS table, it will still kern your font even if you switch it off. So seems to be a bug for me. Or there must be another place where you can disable it. But GPOS kerning cannot be disabled in Quark. So, and TrueType with a kern table obviously kerns only the Latin part, not the Greek. TrueType with a GPOS works as well, but cannot be switched off. So it's a very confusing situation. And all you can say is full support for kerning. You can get only in InDesign, and in all other programs we have some problems. So it's, and I think the treatment, the different treatment of GPOS and kern tables should be removed by the application programmers at some point. Okay, this is just a side remark. I don't. One point which also John Hudson mentioned is the line spacing. And again, the OTF specification has several values for line spacing. And this is also a source for different behaviors of your font in different applications, because different applications are using different values and different algorithms to calculate the line spacing. And if you want to have a document on different platforms and different applications and would like to have the same layout and the same appearance, it's very difficult to achieve if you have different values for the ascender and descender values in the font. So again, the reason for this is the redundancy of the OpenType specification and the different behavior, the different algorithms which are used by different applications. And our recommendation or what we usually do to our fonts is we set all these values to be the same. In multilingual fonts, or as you can have in the Mars font, which John Hudson showed, you get problems because you have very large ascender and descender values. And okay, there was a modification of the specification in the OS2 table. You can set a bit which says which kind of metric you should use, but I don't know whether any application is using this bit, and whether it's, I don't know any fonts which are making use of it. So glyph names, they used to be a problem in fonts because they have been used in older versions of the operating system to convert back to Unicode, but that has been fixed. So the only use of glyph names is now for conversion to PDF and for printer drivers. So the whole PostScript environment still works with glyph names, and therefore the recommendation should be to use the standard glyph list from Adobe and put this into the font if you have a post table or if you have a name keyed CFF font. Yeah, another source for confusion and for platform incompatibility is are the font names. There are millions of options to enter font names into the name table, and different applications are using different values again. So it can very well be that you have a font which you have selected in your document on the Mac, and you go to the PC, you open the document, and the font will not be recognized because the names are just different. And there's no hope that this will get better, because you have a lot of applications around which are using fixed name entries. And I think it's even getting worse, because there are some new name entries which have been defined some time ago when Windows Presentation Foundation was introduced, and you can enter new names for the menu ordering in Windows, in fonts which are using, in applications which are using Windows Presentation Foundations. So these are the names which you actually, if you're doing font production, and if you try to make a font compatible for different platforms, you should carefully select these names here, the font family name and the subfamily name, which is used on the PC, and which can have form members on the PC. On the Mac, you can use any number, any different number of subfamily names. The font full name is usually a combination of these two, and in OTF it should be identical to the PostScript name in the CFF file. We have a PostScript name. We have a preferred family name, preferred subfamily name, which are used by InDesign and by, I think mostly by Adobe applications. We have a compatible full name, which is used on the Mac, similar to the old FOND name. And if you look at it, you get a lot of different name entries in your name table, and you have to make sure that they are all consistent. So in our program, which I use very often, the OpenType master, you can modify these names, and we have introduced some kind of consistency checks, so that the that you can see whether formally the names are correctly done. So one annoying problem in OpenType is that the CFF table itself does not only contain the glyphs, but the CFF also contains a font header and your font and then a glyph directory and glyph address and something like that, so it's a complete font actually. And of course this introduces a lot of redundancy. There are a lot of informations in the CFF header which are also specified in the open type tables. And one example is that you have again three name entries here in the CFF header which have to be identical to the ones in the name table. And okay, this has been introduced by Adobe because the CFF file is used for PostScript printer drivers and for PDF embedding directly as it is, but it's really not a very good idea, I think. Okay, we used to have some problems with, so this should conclude the naming section. There are some glyphs which you can access either via features or which you can access as Unicodes. For example, the German long S has a Unicode, but can in most fonts also be accessed as a feature like historical or something like that. The final sigma can be accessed as a final variation of the basic sigma. There are some mathematical Greek signs, Japanese vertical alternates, and also Arabic presentation forms. They do have their own Unicode in the compatibility area, and I think these are still used. Also the glyphs are accessed via the feature table. So these are some examples of these glyphs. You can see a long S which has its own Unicode. It's 17F, I think, if I can read. Yeah. And it can be also accessed via a feature which is historical. So the final sigma also has its own Unicode, but it's a variation of a glyph actually. If you can see the difference, one is just it's a Japanese sign for horizontal setting, and the one is vertical rotated here, so it's for vertical setting. And I think these vertical glyphs have also their own Unicode in the private use area or in the compatibility area. And these are the medial form of an Arabic glyph, which also has its own Unicode. Font caching can be a problem. I would skip this very, or keep this very short. If you have old versions of a font on your machine and you install a new version, you can get some surprising behavior. Then you have to clean the font cache on different machines. On a PC, if you look for Adobe FNT.lst, if you work with Adobe applications, you will find maybe 20 to 30 versions of an Adobe FNT.lst, and if you delete them all, your font will work probably again. And on Mac OS, there's also a font cache which has to be cleared from time to time, otherwise you get conflicting behavior between old and new fonts. My idea would, if you use a font for caching, you can also use a font version number. This would make the life much easier, because then if you install a new version, you could simply delete all the old stuff which is in the font cache. But this is up to application and operating system developers if they like to do that. Font embedding is again a point which should be considered when your customer wants a font, because TTF and OTF fonts are behaving differently with respect to font embedding. Especially with MS Office and Microsoft applications, you can embed TTF fonts but no OTF fonts. So this sometimes forces the customer to use TTF. That's it. And also web font embedding, the Microsoft solution with embedded OpenType allows only to use TTF fonts. I think this might change with the new font formats for web embedding, but For the time being, you have to decide: do I need that? Does my customer need the font embedding in Office or not? And then you have to select your font format. So this is again a point where OTF and TTF are behaving differently. Also, ideally they shouldn't, but they still do. Another point where OTF and TTF are behaving differently are symbol fonts. So the old Windows symbol fonts, they can be accessed with a normal keyboard, and they use internally a special CMap which maps the keyboard input to some private use area Unicodes. This cannot be done the same way with OTF, it doesn't work. So if you want to do a symbol font with OTF, you have to do it differently. Oops. You can use symbols in the private use area, you can fake it as Latin 1 fonts, then you can use the keyboard again, or you can make a featured font which has some ornaments, and you can select your symbols as variations of some ornament. This is how Adobe includes some of the symbols into the fonts, but the TTF solution is not possible for OTF. So this was a basic part of OpenType support, and you can see there are still some open issues. TTF, OTF behaves differently. When it comes to typographic layout features, a lot of features have been introduced for Latin and Cyrillic and Greek fonts. I've listed some of them here. Probably you might know them, but they have been implemented in many applications, especially in the layout programs, InDesign, Quark. Also, Windows Presentation Foundation allows to access the OpenType features. They are not supported in MS Office, and I think this is also intended to be so. They don't want these features in Office. In InDesign 3 and 4, you have also support for more complicated or more advanced features like final, medial, initial, which are used in Arabic but can also be used for script typefaces, for example, for Latin typefaces. And you have support for the local feature, which allows language-dependent alternate characters. We have seen, or John talked about that in about some different Serbian forms. There are, in many languages, there are alternate forms, and I will show some examples later. So this is InDesign, you might know that. The selection of the features can be done via this OpenType menu point, and you see all the features which are supported by InDesign, and you can see which features are supported by the font they are simply not in brackets. The features which are not supported are in brackets. The ones which are supported are just visible, and you can switch them on and off. So this is one way to select the typographical features. Another way is in the glyph palette, where you get a list of all the features which you have, and you can nicely select the feature you want, and you see all the glyphs which are belonging to this feature. So this is the second way to access the typographic variations which you have. And another method to select typographic variations or features is that you select a character in your text, and then in the glyph palette you can show all the available alternate characters for that, which are in any feature. So you can see here that the one which is selected appears in 8 different forms in the font. The interface in Quark is very similar. Oops, this takes this one. So in Quark, you have a very similar menu, user interface. You have a menu which shows all the features. You also have a glyph palette which can show the swash feature in this case, and you can see all the glyphs which have which are falling in into this class. And again, you can also select in the glyph palette the feature and see what kind of glyphs you have in this feature class, so to say, what kind of typographic variations you have. So the user interface in Quark and InDesign for the typographic features is very simple, and they both support very nicely probably most of the or all of the Latin features. Yeah, this is an example of the local feature. So you can see that the T comma accent and T sedia are different in Turkish and in Romanian. You have different forms. And this is selected automatically. So in the fonts, this is realized as a local feature, as a local glyph variant. And if you select as language, you can see it. The Romanian language is selected in the box over there. Oops. Is there anything? Okay, anyway. So you can see it on the lower left corner that Romanian language is selected, and then you simply get the Romanian local form of the S and T comma accent. And this works in a similar way with InDesign. In InDesign, you also have a list of supported languages, and this language is used for hyphenation and for a set of language rules. And if you select the Romanian language, you can see it on the T that the S comma accent is different here from the S CD in German. The T has the same form in both cases here, but this is a part of this is how it's realized in the font. There's no T CD in this case. But this is a very nice example of the local feature, and I think it's very useful to make font working locally correct. So the OpenType feature support on the Mac OS X used to be not very good, but mainly because Apple introduced its own Apple Advanced technology, which was going back to the old GX technology. But they started to support OpenType at least on Mac OS X 3.4 a bit. And in 10.5, the old text APIs were replaced by a Cortex engine. And this Cortex engine supports many OpenType features like old style figures, ligatures, small caps. And since OS 10.6, you also have support for contextual substitutions and also support for complex scripts like Arabic. So you can see it here. This is simply text edit, one very simple text module, which makes use of the Cortex functionality. And you can see if you select a typeface, there's a small button. There's a small button here. If you click on it, you get this menu. Oops. No. Empty. It doesn't work anymore. You get the left menu with all the remote control. No. Doesn't work. Okay, anyway. I would describe it. On the left, you get a menu palette which shows all the available features in the font. And opposed to InDesign and Quark, you don't get a fixed list, but you get a list which actually contains only those features which are really in the font, which I think is very nice. And you can switch them on and off. You can. You see here that in text edit, I can select old style figures and it works. So even in such a simple application like text edit, so any application which makes use of the Mac Cortex engine could use this, so you don't have to program it anyway. And I think we'll see more applications on the Mac having support for typographical features and for complex scripts. This is another example, and you can see that the palette which you see, which shows the features, is much larger now, and because there are more features in the Adobe Garavan Pro, and it also supports contextual substitution. You can see that on the fractions in the fourth line of the text. So if you type 1234 divided by 4567, and you select fractions, it will do it completely correct, and it will replace all the inferiors and all the glyphs by the correct positioned numerators and denominators, or inferiors and superiors, I don't know which one. But this is done as a contextual substitution within the font, so it works here. It's really amazing that it works in such a simple application, I think. So you get all the features which you have in the font automatically free to your application. And I think Apple has done a good job on that. So, of course, non-Latin scripts also were one focus of the one main reason for introducing OpenType, because the non-Latin scripts require complex layout engines, and one of the more simple non-Latin scripts are the CGK scripts. There have been a lot of features introduced for CGK, for Chinese, Japanese, Korean. Most of them are quite simple, just substitutions and contextual substitutions, positional forms. Most of these have been introduced by Adobe into the Japanese fonts. And I think they are supported in InDesign, Illustrator, and on Mac OS 10.5, all the features are also supported. So, one point again where TTF and OTF are behaving differently is the question of italic glyphs, because I mentioned that you can have a TTC file in as a valid OpenType file, which has, for example, italic glyphs, and then you can see in your menu one font which is regular and the other font which is italic, and they share all the common tables, so you don't have to reproduce, or you don't have to generate two font files which have 30,000 Chinese glyphs identical and just a few Latin glyphs italic. This is the reason for TTC. Adobe realized the italics in a different way, because there is no OTC, there are no open type collection files in a sense. So the italic glyphs are included as a feature, and you can select the italics via a feature palette. Again, this is the reason, this is a point which I think is not necessary, so one could have a common solution for that, but this is not yet done. So these are some examples for simple features in Japanese. This is just in historical form. Again, this is a local. This is an example of a local feature. You have a traditional form and a Japanese one. italics are realized as features. And then there's one point which I just want to mention shortly, which is also a solution which is not standard, or which is a little bit conflicting or overlapping with OpenType features. These are ideographic variation selectors. So as you might have heard, the Han unification, which is a process of unifying all the glyph sets from Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and other countries, Taiwan, Hong Kong, there you have selected one Unicode point for one glyph, not for one glyph, but for one ideograph. And but for some of these ideographs, you have local variants. So they look a little bit different in China, they look a little bit different in Korea, in Taiwan, and you have even within Hong Kong and China, you have some differences. And Adobe introduced a form to register a specific form of the glyph as an ideographic variation selector with an additional Unicode. So, but you have to register these glyphs at the Unicode consortium. And I'm not sure whether this is a good idea or not. And I think the Chinese also don't, they probably don't like it. But one advantage of a variation selector is that you can store it in plain text. You don't have to select a feature, but you can, in plain text, you can have a Unicode and a variation selector. And then you know, I don't have to take this form of the ideograph of the character. I have to take another form. And you can see these are the typical differences or the differences of three glyph variants of the same Unicode character. I can't tell you what it means and really what the different is, or whether it's different names, different languages. But so these kind of small typographic variants for one Unicode character are causing a lot of problems in Far East, in Far Eastern languages and scripts and fonts. So you have to include these. Either you can do it either as a feature, you can do it as an ideographic variation selector, and if you are selling the font here in Europe, you have to explain that all. That's the most, that's the biggest problem. So for non-Latin scripts like Arabic, there have been also in a lot of features introduced that you can set Arabic. I will skip this section because Thomas will talk about Arabic typesetting, and probably he will mention that OpenType is not the right solution. But
I will talk about OpenType.
Okay. No, I don't. So you can see Arabic has basically final, medial, and initial forms, and it's written from right to left. So you get you have to support that with a layout engine. This is done in different applications like Word. On the Mac, you don't get that support up to now. In Office products, you don't get it in Quark. Also, InDesign doesn't do it automatically. You have to buy an extra version, which is called InDesign ME, which has support for Arabic type, for Arabic features, and allows right to left setting. But you get it for free in text edit again. So I have copied some Arabic text from Al Jazeera news webpage and pasted it in text edit, and it works perfectly with Adobe Arabic, which is an OpenType font. So if you like to do Arabic OpenType typesetting, not the highly typographic advanced one, but you can do it in text edit in Word, in text edit on the Mac for free. It's just, it works. There are other scripts which I don't want to mention in more detail, like the Indic scripts, which are very complicated. There have been a lot of different features introduced for Indic scripts, like Devanagari, Gurmukhi, Tamil, Malayalam, Gujarati, and what else. They are supported in Windows. They are supported also partly in Mac OS X. And I think they are also partly supported in IndeSign CS4, not officially, but most of the features are working in IndeSign CS4. So it's also possible to do Indic within these applications. Okay, the local feature I have already mentioned. It works. This is another example of a local variation of a Japanese glyph. Left is Japanese, right is Chinese. Okay, and this is an example which shows a different local form of a Serbian of a Cyrillic character for Serbia, which is different in Russia and in Serbia. So. And then the last point I want to mention is the web font embedding, which was a big discussion this summer in the W3 mailing list, and I think I got about 1,500 emails or something like that. And it's hard to read them all, and I admire all the people who are writing this stuff, so they have to spend much more time than I did. And John Hudson also contributed a lot to that. So, web font embedding was never a theme. Microsoft started that in '97 with Embedded OpenType and its web font embedding tool, but it was a proprietary format which has a patented compression technology for Monotype inside, and it was only supported by Internet Explorer, and it was complicated to handle. So. It was nearly dead for 10 years, I think. In 2008, things changed a bit because Microsoft submitted the EOT as a standard to the W3 committee, and Firefox, Safari, and Opera started to support plain TTF-OTF embedding. So you could take an OTF font, embed it on your website, and it will be used on the client side. Of course, this causes immediately a problem because the font is downloaded on your onto the machine of the client. So the font is distributed to any user, and certainly the font foundries didn't want to have their fonts distributed freely all over the world. So there was a big discussion on the W3 mailing list about the right font format for web font embedding. And I think there are different proposals. One is EOT Lite, which is kind of a open type wrapper around the font. One is WOF, which means web open type font format, or web open font format, or whatever. And there are two other ones, TTF, OTF, which will never be supported by Internet Explorer. This is Microsoft's statement. And SVG, which is scalable vector graphics, which is used by Opera for some purpose, but is not really a font format which is usable. So we are left with two possible formats for web font embedding, which will hopefully be implemented in the next browser generations. So this is a screenshot from one page which shows how the font embedding works. This is not a graphic, so in this case, you just write in your HTML syntax, you write the text and you select the font, and the font is embedded and downloaded to the computer, and you can use it on your own. It will, on your own machine, it will be displayed correctly. Mozilla already implemented the support for web open type font format for WOF. So we will see some more font embedding in the future. And yeah, just recently, 1 or 2 months ago, probably you might know that Hakon Lee from Opera, he proposed an extension of the font variation property to include OpenType features into the CSS specification. And one guy from Mozilla who has been working on OpenType very long here, he made a demo version to show how this works. And on the top you can see the line without any features. On the bottom you see the same line in your web browser using font features. And again, you don't have to do a lot. You just have to select the font. You have to embed this font into a font format which your browser understands, like EOT or WOF or whatever. And then you select in your CSS syntax feature stylistic alternates or whatever, and you get a completely different appearance on your website, which is probably a very nice option to use OpenType fonts on the web. This is another example which was made by these Mozilla developers. So on the left you see the font, how it would look without any features. On the right you see it, how it looks if you switch on the features. And so I think OpenType has made its way also to the web, to web browsers, or will make it in the future even more. And you will see probably a lot of these on web pages, and maybe later on iPhones and whatever. So yeah, to sum up, OpenType is a central part of font technology, and it has been implemented to a very good degree in many applications and operating systems. And nearly all scripts of the world are now supported by OpenType. Whether good enough or not, I can't judge, but you can do a lot of typesetting, which was not possible 10 years ago. You can write a lot of scripts on your computer, which weren't available 10, 15 years ago. This also means that font production has become more complicated, but also more interesting. So you learn a lot of things if you try to make a font. And you don't have to go as far as John Hudson, who made a font which has a lookup which is used only in one book on one single combination. But even if you want to do a normal OpenType font, you have to put in a lot of features, a lot of intelligence, and it's also more fun than just doing plain font production. There are still points which are open. I mentioned that. So TTF and OTF fonts are different. They're behaving different. This should not be the case. So the kerning problems are one point which I think is unnecessary, which could be fixed. The local feature should work in all applications, I think. And there should be a consistent way to treat local glyph variants, like these ideographic variation sequences. I don't know whether this is the last word on that. And what I personally would like to see is expanding the support of TTF and OTF to more than 65,000 glyphs, because there are already 70,000 Chinese glyphs which you can't put in one font, and if you add local variants to that, you end up with 80,000 or 90,000 or more. So if you want to have a true global font, then you need more than the currently possible number of 65,000 glyphs. But this is left to the future. And I think to sum it up, the OpenType support in the last 12 years has been implemented very, very nicely, and we see a lot of progress in support of typographic features and complex languages. And it's interesting and it's a nice thing, and I'm glad to see that. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Do you actually do any lobbying actions to
have those features being supported by front manufacturers and software.
What kind of actions?
You contact Microsoft, Apple, Adobe to tell them that those support, this specific support is broken and they should fix it.
I think they know these kind of problems, and
But maybe if users and colleagues,
because these problems still existed 2 years ago. So, and I've given this talk several times, so I think they are aware of that. But whether there are any plans to fix it, it's I don't know. Several points which we have mentioned to Apple, for example, have been fixed in the last versions of the Mac OS. So if we find any problems, we will, of course, contact Adobe or Microsoft or Apple and try to convince the people to put this onto the list. But they usually have bug lists which are that long, and then I don't know what kind of priority this has. So, but we are trying to work together with these.
And do you personally think this is going fast enough?
That's a difficult question. No, I think you have to be patient. It takes a lot of time to develop a kind of an operating system or a new release of an operating system, and I'm sure there are millions of bugs and what kind of priority fonts and features have in the improvement of operating system for applications, I don't know. So it's hard to say. And sometimes also, if they do a new application, they say in old application we don't fix anything, we just leave it as it is, and then you have to live with it. And the problem is always that the customer base which you have has different versions of programs, different versions of operating systems, and you have all kind of combinations, and even if this is fixed in the latest version, sometimes the customer doesn't accept that, and he says, but I want it to work in my environment. So I think in 3-4 years probably everything will be fixed, yeah.
The open type format has also several severe flaws, and those are addressed one version after another, or not at all. But do you think that that the open type specifications are evolving fast enough regarding the support, or there will be always a big offset between
I think it takes a lot of time to release a new version of the OpenType specification, because there are many people involved, and especially now since OpenType is also an ISO standard, I think the procedure is even more complicated. But I hope that that points which are which can be fixed in the specification will be. But I can't tell too much about that.
Like some type of overflows, things like that.
Hmm?
Like the kerning subtable overflow issue that's size.
Yeah,
for years now.
It's 4 years, yes. It's 4 years in the specification, but okay. Maybe it's fixed in the next one, but I don't know.
Worrying about it, and it's the fake randomization.
don't think that it will get into the open type specification, but would be nice. But it's hard to it's hard to tell whether it's really a security risk or not. So it's I don't know.
So no hope on that side.
I'm not deciding that. So
I'm just asking for your opinion.
Yeah. It would be nice, but I think it will not be in the specification for not in the near future.
Thanks.
Will you make this PDF available?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ready. It's here, so Frank can distribute it.
You put it on the TL side. Yeah.
About open type. When I started learning about it some years ago, inevitably came to the situation when on paper it's black and white, and when it comes to life, it's more gray, because of the shortcomings of the open type versus the necessities of life. We or people have.
I don't have one, but I can try to add one to the PDF and see what I can find. There are some good articles on the Microsoft typography site, or at least some links which can be followed. There are also some articles from John Hudson, who has done a lot of work on OpenType development, and especially for the complex scripts, there's a detailed explanation on the on Microsoft's typography site how these have to be done, what is required for non-Latin scripts, and I think there are lots of links, but I can try to make a list also available to the at the end of the PDF.
No other questions? Thank you.
Okay.